Welcome to Lead Follow, a podcast for pastors and leaders, hosted by MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton. Join Glenn as he talks to folks across the denomination to help equip today's leaders who are leading while following Jesus.
Hello, my name is Glenn Guyton, and during this season of Lead Follow, we'll be exploring ways to reimagine church. Today, I am pleased to welcome Mackenzie Miller, who is a sophomore at Goshen College in Indiana, studying general communications with minors in journalism and music. She is the music director for The Globe, the campus radio station, and also writes for The Record, Goshen College's award-winning independent student newspaper. She attends Ridgeway Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Welcome, Mackenzie.
Thank you.
How are you doing? All right.
Yeah.
Well, great to see you. We met right before I spoke for the Goshen College commencement,
yeah.
And you did a wonderful story
on me.
So thank you for that.
Yeah.
All right. Sometimes I have problems with print journalism, but you did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
All right. And now, I thought you were like a graduating senior or something,
no,
but
yeah.
You were just a freshman.
Yeah. That was my first year.
Okay. All right. Well, good to have you. Well, this series, we are talking about reimagining the church. And so I'm glad you're here to talk with us a little bit about that topic. But as we think about reimagining church, you know, reimagining organizations, we want to envision how we can do things differently, right? So nothing is off the table. So now with your many years of experience and as you look at the church that you are a part of, if you were to change one thing about Mennonite Church USA, what would it be and why?
I think it's just some of the framing, especially within recent conversations. I think there should be more of an emphasis on this like network of communities, because in my experience, the Mennonite Church has always been a pretty like flat power structure.
Yeah.
But really emphasizing the larger community that we can find within Mennonite Church USA and also in our local areas.
Okay, all right. And so you grew up in the Mennonite Church, I'm assuming?
Yes.
All right. And both your parents are actively involved actually here in Virginia Conference.
Yeah, yep.
And so how has that impacted you going to Goshen College?
My father has been a pastor my entire life, like a Mennonite pastor, and I've also only gone to Mennonite schools.
Okay.
So I think I did question going to a Mennonite college.
Okay.
I was like, do I really need to do this? But I think it was important for me to go to a Mennonite college and have that, especially Goshen. It's such an incredible community there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's incredible opportunities also, but having that extra space to be able to explore my faith with my friends and my professors mm-hmm. has been really valuable to me.
Okay. So I know for me, I went to college a long time ago, many years ago. But it was a change, right? You're coming from this place where your parents are kind of responsible for you going to church, getting up in the morning and doing all these things. And so what has stood out to you differently now that you've had a year, so you got a year under your belt. You're experienced. You're no longer a freshman. You're a sophomore. What major lessons have you learned, or what has been the things that have stood out to you?
I think growing more independent in my faith and theology
mm-hmm.
and having more agency over where I go to church or what I study. I did a few essays this year mm-hmm. within like academic settings, within class, focusing on various like theological issues and looking at Mennonite and Anabaptist theologians mm-hmm. and really being given that space to have the time and energy to listen and learn and analyze and really put my own thoughts into that
okay.
has been really valuable for me. And also being able to like choose the church I go to. It's
yeah,
never
yeah.
really been a choice for me.
You just had to go where your dad,
yeah.
where
so
your dad was preaching.
Where my dad's ends up.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty straightforward. But me and my roommate went church hopping.
Oh, okay.
We went to like five different churches, I think, the first month, because there's a lot of Mennonite churches in Goshen.
There are, yeah.
And we ended up at Assembly Mennonite. But
okay.
it was a very interesting experience. And I think even just seeing being able to have that first impression at so many different congregations.
Okay, no, that's no, that's good, because I've done that, what you've done, the church hopping. So as a preacher's kid, I mean, you're used to church, you're familiar with Mennonites, now you're with the, you know, you have your Virginia Mennonites, now we're with the Indiana Mennonites.
So
that church experience, so going from church to church, because I think this is really important, because we don't often get to do this after we've become pastors and established. What are some things that kind of stood out about that experience? Like when you first showing up to a church and going to these different places, what are some things, I would like to know what things you think churches could do better, and then what are some things that just stood out in your mind?
Yeah, I think it's interesting how different churches approach visitors or new incoming prospective church members.
Yeah.
Some churches were very just like chill about it. People would say hi to you after the service, but there was like no pressure to get involved or anything. Or you'd also getting invited to potlucks.
Okay.
Was my personal favorite part of church hopping.
Okay, all right.
Any free food I can get as a college student.
Yep.
But there were other churches that were very intentional about welcoming people, and they would have designated spaces in the service to introduce visitors or they'd have like name tags. And I did appreciate that at some level. It felt like they were very intentional about inviting me into this community, but also I'm not the type of person who wants to stand up in church introduce myself to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
So it can be a little bit of pressure in that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I've thought about that. I think we have these things, these rituals, these traditions, and you wonder how they translate. Do you think your experience would have been different if you, say, weren't raised in the church, if your parents weren't heavily involved, if you were just, I guess, just someone just looking, hey, I just want to go to a church. How do you think your experience would have been different then?
I think especially within Mennonite churches, there can be, there's also a culture that comes with it, and there's a lot of assumptions people make, like, oh, you must know this and this and 606 and what have you.
Okay, 606, you went way back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And it can, I can definitely see how that can feel alienating to some people.
Yeah.
But I think having that intentionality and welcoming people in and having maybe Sunday school classes that go over Mennonite history, Mennonite traditions, that could be fun and engaging for new people.
Okay, I appreciate that. So you all heard it from Mackenzie here. We've been talking about these things, about orienting people back to Anabaptist theology and Anabaptist traditions. So I didn't prompt her, but she would say, hey, Sunday school class, so people understand. Because there are some cultural aspects, some traditional aspects, some theological things that we all need to know. So I don't know if we spend enough time on that in churches. So Mackenzie, you find yourself here talking to the executive director of Mennonite Church USA, but we are a pretty flat organization. But I think if I was your age, I would be kind of like, wow, man, I'm sitting here talking to the guy that's supposedly in charge. So imagine that you are in charge. What recommendations would you have for me, especially as we seek to connect with the next generation of church leaders?
I think personal relationships are probably the most important part in that. Starting at a very local level within church communities, making sure you have at least two or three people that you can reach out to, talk to about faith, theology, any other concerns you have. Yeah, I can't say I know exactly what that would look like on a more national level, but centering relationships and community.
Centering relationships and community, okay.
As well as, I think, involvement in church activities. Okay. Like, it's always been pretty easy for me to get on the worship team or read scripture or whatever I want to do, but having that readily available and like allowing that to be an option.
Do you think, I know you've been in your parents' church, but how do you see that in other churches? Do you see young people getting involved, or is it mostly older people? What's your experience about that?
I think there's a good mix.
Okay.
Where I currently go in Goshen, at Assembly, they're very intentional about including children and like celebrating the birthdays and knowing their names, which I really appreciate. And I think that's very valuable experience as a young person, getting really involved and not being like, oh, I can only do this when I'm this age, or like I have to be so old to get involved and be in community with all these people, especially like youth group is a great opportunity to do that and to also get to know your peers.
Okay. And so now I don't know how much you've maybe learned about the national level of the church since you've been out, but are there any things that stick out to you that you say, hey, oh, young people need to know this. We should be sharing this type of information so that people your age know more about the denomination.
I think it would be interesting to see a more intentional space talking about theology.
Okay.
Like going over basic theology, which I think, like, it's one of those things where, like, I know it, mm-hmm. but it's also, like, because English is my first language, I know all of these rules that you're not conscious of them, though.
Right.
And I think being conscious of the basic structure of Mennonite and Baptist theology, but then also being able to dive deeper in that and have resources readily available for that engagement.
Now, is this something, though, that you've thought about since going to college, or were you thinking about this when you were, like, growing up in church, or is this something when you, hey, you know, now that you're in college, you can study these things, it's something that you're more willing to learn?
I think being a pastor's kid, I've always been pretty engaged in more in-depth theology. Like, I mean, just in my first year, I wrote two essays concerning Mennonite Anabaptist theology, one about, like, Christian nationalism and Anabaptist abstention and the intersectionality there, and also I did a book review on Melissa Flora Bixler's How to Have an Enemy,
which is
a really good book.
Okay.
But, yeah, and those are sometimes more, like, theologically dense, and it takes vocabulary and prior knowledge to read them. But I think creating a space where you can learn that vocabulary mm-hmm. and how to engage in these theological texts.
Do you think most of your peers that have grown up in Mennonite communities, so, you know, with the ethnic Mennonite ties, do you think they would have a good sense of the theology, or is it just, hey, we just go to this church? Do you think they understand Anabaptist theology?
I think it depends on the person, for sure.
I like that.
I know at least within Mennonite schools, you have, like, Bible classes that center around Anabaptist theology, and that's I've always enjoyed that, which might just be a personal preference.
Okay.
But yeah, having access to that I think is important, and also being having that open space.
Okay, and I think those are some themes that I've heard from other people that I've talked to during this season of the podcast is. You know, being curious, I think that's really important. You sound like you're a curious person, and I think that's important for us to continue to learn no matter what age we are. But especially as we get older, I think sometimes we forget and we lose that curiosity because we just become overwhelmed by different things. But I will say, too, I do appreciate the fact that you recognize the importance of that theological education offered by our school. So if any of our educators are listening, you have a fan here in McKenzie, and so it's important that we continue to teach those lessons so that we have a strong foundation as we move forward in our faith and as we move forward with the future of the church. So now you do a couple of different things, different interests you have. You write for the Record, and you're the music director for the Globe. Is that like, does that mean you're like a DJ or?
No, it means, unfortunately, it means I get to help curate a lot of the songs that we play on the Globe, as well as working with artists and, like, going to concerts and making connections and whatnot, and I'm very excited.
Okay. Yeah. Now, is that, is it classical music? Is like, what is it?
So at the Globe, we play what we call culturally progressive music.
Oh, okay, you have to tell me what that is.
Yeah, so it's a lot of Americana, AAA, folk, indie, kind of, it's an eclectic collection of things. But it's a wonderful vibe, absolutely, yeah. If you like Red Wing at all, like, this is, okay, well.
And so you just pick the music. You don't, like, play it. You don't, like, scratch it or whatever. I don't even know what they have. Do you just push buttons down?
It's all electronic now,
none of this, huh? No scratching, okay.
It's very tragic.
All right. And the Record. So tell me a little bit about your work at the Record.
So I signed up to be a writer at The Record, mm-hmm. like orientation week. They had a club fair, and I put my name on the list. Mm-hmm. And I got to write a few articles that first semester. Okay. Then the second semester, I got recruited to be a news writer, specifically for the news. So I wrote for the news almost every week, I think. And that was very valuable to just like get that repetition in. And at that point, I also started doing editing, like copy editing, but also layout editing, which was like late nights on Wednesday, maybe sometimes too late, but it's always a great time. I feel like I'm learning a lot from the experience of doing it, but also from my peers, and it's a very enjoyable experience.
Right. And so how did you get to interview me? Were you just like the unlucky draw, like the, or how'd they wind up? Oh, take this story.
Yeah, that was our last, that was our last edition for that semester.
Okay.
And I think, there was one other like main news article that was pretty big. So our news editor just needed, he reached out to me to write this article and interview you about commencement speech. Okay. And yeah.
And so you're a student at a Mennonite school. What's the value? Yeah, like why did you choose to go to a Mennonite school, and what's the value in that to you?
I think a lot of the cultural aspects, like the familiarity, but also the diversity that exists at Goshen. I did visit one like non-Mennonite school, mm-hmm. and it just didn't quite sit right with me. Like I can see why other people would like, but it wasn't my cup of tea per se.
It wasn't a cup of tea, okay.
And I think having a campus that's centered around Mennonite values of like community and mm-hmm. service and hospitality and really being engaged in faith in that way was important to me.
All right. And do you, if you're looking toward your future, what do you think, what's in your future once you graduate? What do you want to do? What's your ultimate goal?
I don't really know.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I'm kind of letting it unfold as it happens.
All right.
Yeah.
Letting the future unfold. All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Anything you want me to tell Becky? I do know the president. Any advice you want me to give to her before?
Keep the fraught cookies.
The fraught cookies?
The fraught cookies.
Okay, I need a fraught cookie. Next time I go to... I need to get
one. The double chocolate ones are the best.
Double chocolate fraught cookies. Okay, yeah. I need one. So if you're from Goshen College, I need one of those cookies. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mackenzie, for joining me. And I do appreciate the fact that you've shown some initiative with coming and watching what we're doing here and learning and engaging. I think that's really important for us as we continue to grow, no matter what age we are. If we're working in certain areas, be curious, engage, ask questions. Mackenzie, I don't even know how you got here to watch us today, but I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Take some risks, ask questions, and you never know what will happen. But thank you all so much for joining me today. But if you want to keep up with the latest and greatest that is happening in Mennonite Church USA, subscribe to Piecemeal. Piecemeal is our weekly email newsletter. You can subscribe at MennoniteUSA.org/piecemeal. Also, I would encourage you to give. We do value the donations and contributions of our members. Please go to MennoniteUSA.org/give. Thank you so much for joining me.